There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 953, August 22nd. 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say, Sunday, we will find out who will walk on red water and who will fly through Réunion and Pujol. Back to you, El Jefe.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, the motorsports reunion at Laguna Seca was outstanding. Kimi crashes in stage three. New FIA directives will put Merck on pole. Drivers may hit the picket line for a spa, and Mick Schumacher brushing up on his French. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. And I want to thank Dave and Judith for meeting up with me at Laguna Seca and all the other folks that made it possible for me to arrive, hang out, and be gone. So keep up the good work, Laguna. Thank you, F1 Weekly listeners. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. Thank you. Glad you had a good time at Laguna Seca. Anything that stands out? Any car? Any driver? Any special hot dogs?
The hot dogs were outstanding. The Pabst Blue Ribbon was ice cold. And, well, you know, the biggest problem with Laguna is there's not enough roads going to Laguna. The traffic was horrendous, and I tried so many different ways, but in the end, you must pay the piper. And it's sort of sad, because I remember in the old days, it took me 1 hour to get to Laguna Seca. Now, well, we don't even want to go into that deep, depressive era that is today. Yes, very depressing. I'll never go back because of the traffic. Now, on the other hand, if there's a listener out there who has a twin-engine private plane that could take me from San Jose to Salinas or Monterey, please email me at clark@f1weekly.com. We could make it worth your while. I do need a private jet to fly me from San Francisco to Bordeaux next year. Please, folks, I can't fly commercial anymore. So once again, email me at clark@f1weekly.com. Nas, it was exciting. The people were happy. The cars were outstanding. And yes, I'm getting too old to fly commercial.
Yeah, so you're like Eddie DiBartolo and Chip Ganassi and Roger Penske can't fly cattle class on Delta.
Absolutely correct, Nasser.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, sir, I'm glad you had a good time, and fans around the globe are waiting for the second half of the 2022 season to begin. Miss Belinda Carlisle used to sing about heaven is a place on earth. And I'm very pleased to say in 2013, some members of F1 Weekly Familia located this heaven in the Ardennes Forest, and it's called Spa-Francorchamps, the mother of all tracks. And Mr. Rogers, you've been there. What was your first impression of this beautiful track?
The beauty, the fact that you're not only racing, but you're actually driving somewhere. You're in the forest, everything is green, you can smell the French fries and the mayonnaise in the background. Jimmy Clark stumbling to find his wrench to take his steering wheel off. It's everything you possibly want. The best track, the mama track, the cathedral of tracks, and yet it could go away because we want to go to, I don't know, Bangor, Maine.
Interesting. Very good. Very good. Well, just from one visit, I can confirm the place is sweeter than wine and the finest in Belgian chocolat. This is a real driver circuit. Winners include, like you said, Jim Clark, who actually won his first Grand Prix there. I believe it was 1962. Other mega winners include Ayrton Senna, Michael Schumacher, Kimi Raikkonen, and LCH. Max was the winner last time. Now, shockingly, one hombre is missing from the top step of the podium at Spa. As they used to say on NFL Network, telecast, IBM presents, you make the call, who can it be now? Spa is the place where Charles Leclerc took his first Grand Prix win in 2019 with some fancy Maranello fuel mojo. But this Sunday he will be facing the Houdini of hustle, and time will tell if he will escape with a win. It will be nice to see Charles win, so at least the flickering hope of a championship battle keeps on going. Could there be rain, which can surprise a few drivers at Spa, as DC can confirm? As a surprise winner, it will be wonderful to see Mercedes win a race for the first time this season, but realistically, this is a very long pipe dream. What a day it will be when Lewis gets his first win in 2022, or we have another first-time winner on Her Majesty's service, either in the shape of George Russell or Lando Norris. Both are very capable of delivering wins if they have the right package. And most important, talk of the season. Nando telling the team, it's my life and don't you forget it. The question is, what will we find in the Alpine garage on Sunday? Will it be lovey-dovey or tainted love? Their Spanish La Paloma is flying to a greener nest at the end of the saison. Mr. Rogers, the ball is in your court now to address all of the above issues and questions, hints and allegations.
So exciting, so wonderful. Fernando continuing to be super machismo, wanting to destroy all that is in his way. I love it. He continues to be El Fernando de Oviedo. And the mess at Alpine is absolutely hilarious. Well, Piastri might have to drive at Alpine. We thought Ricciardo would go to Alpine, but that's not going to happen because all of a sudden Mick Schumacher was seen flipping crepes and cooking escargot last weekend. So there's something fishy going on at Alpine. And of course, Latifi, you know, he thinks he's tough enough to stay now. I think pretty much another billion is in the coffers. But all in all, I mean, what a goofy season we have right now. And when we get back to racing, it's going to be fun. We're going to see Leclerc on top, Max. And, you know, there's been a big, big press release from your buddy, El Machismo, the head of the FIA. Very interesting. But the head of the FIA, Mohammed Ben Sulayem, says his stance on Formula One driver health and safety is part of a clear vision for the Federation and motorsport's future, which he will back with decisive action. In other words, when we go into Belgium, everybody is going to be checking out their floors, and there's going to be a crackdown on flexi floors, there's going to be stiffening floors, and the prediction is all this is going to add up to Mercedes avantage and LCH pole in Spa.
Beautiful. Well, sir, speaking of Alpine, like you said, there is possibility of Mick Schumacher joining the team. Not sure if this will happen, but I think if Mick is having a difficult time against K-Mag, there is a strong possibility that against Ocon, he will be even more exposed. If Mick is shown the door at Haas, I still think he will stay in Formula One, given his big name and equally big resources behind him. I think Williams will be a better fit for him, as they have a German boss man there in the form of Jos Capito, and he can do with Mick what you call Fliegel Flugel. What is the choice of the host as a replacement for Machismo?
I think Ricciardo is the obvious choice. Always smiling, happy, pretty good looking, like Fernando. So I don't know. It's obvious. But apparently, Ricciardo has a lot of demands in his contractual agreements. And they know that Mick Schumacher comes over and he's just happy to be there. And it'll be simplistic. You know, I really don't know what's going to happen. But I'm telling you, the Alpine package is not that terrible. The Renault motor is good. It's competitive against McLaren. We just need more oomph in the saddle.
Well, you know, there was news recently that Italian Jesus, also known as Antonio Giovinazzi, will take part in free practice with Haas. And, you know, Antonio is part of the Ferrari Driver Academy. And I will not be surprised if they put him on and bring him back in Formula One after saying ciao ciao to Mick Schumacher. You see him going to Haas?
He apparently will be going to Haas. Something's going on, but Haas depends on Ferrari parts. And if Jesus is told to go to Haas, he will go to Haas. Not sure what's going on there, but Steiner wants those parts. He's got Magnussen. He's so happy with Magnussen, he'll take Jesus.
Interesting. And to ask your favorite question before a race, who will win the Belgian Grand Prix? I'm sorry, who will come second to Lando in the Belgian Grand Prix, sir?
Correct. Lando will be surging because of the high machismo-ness that he will be reaching with all the press conferences and stuff. So, very interesting, but it will be Leclerc finally on the podium. Ferrari, of course, they have said they don't need to change anything. We like the status quo. So, Benito, solid in his position. And it's going to be interesting. Carlos Sainz Jr. will have a DNF. Spa will be exciting and wet, similar to Watkins Glen. Wet in the morning and then chaos as everything dries.
Have you looked at the weather forecast for Spa area?
Never. I never do that because that always jinxes the race.
Yeah, rain at Spa would be very, very interesting. You know, longest track in F1, up and down and fast straights and tight turns, and rain would really make it very, very exciting. And I hope it happens during the race.
I'll do the best I can.
Simple question. If Lando does not win, who will it be, Max or Leclerc?
It's going to be Leclerc. He has to redeem himself. And Max, you know, they still have some issues, reliability issues, fuel delivery issues. We'll see what's going to happen. But Max overcame a lot of issues at Red Bull to go from 10th to victory. So, you know, Red Bull is an awesome team. They fight, they make good decisions. And of course, now that Sulayem has clamped down on the brain-damaging porpoising, which Toto lobbied for and got with a full mama. So yeah, we're going to see Mercedes right at the front. It's going to be hilarious because everybody's going to be buzzing. Wow. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know much about technical stuff and I'm not going to comment on this. But I do recall some years ago there was a drag racer who lost his life. And how long drag races are, you know better. Because what happened, something went wrong with the mount of his engine or something with his, you know, engine system. And there was so much rattling that basically caused his death. If you remember this incident, sad incident. So if they're doing things in the name of safety, I think it's good. But as I've always said, you know, no matter what you do, you're not going to make everybody happy. So we'll see what happens. As far as the World Championship is concerned, it's pretty much Max's deal, unless he wants to do a Charles Leclerc and Scuderia Ferrari and throw it away race after race, which I don't think will be happening.
Absolutely correct. It is Max's championship, which is, that's why it makes a lot of fun for me to watch the reactionary happenings behind the scene. I mean, obviously Toto was lobbying for this. It's going to happen. But other teams have so many other issues. It's not a really big deal except for one guy. And his name is Christian Horner. And he'll be crying like a little girl if LCH wins this after the FIA directive. And I'm sort of hoping that would happen because then we have fireworks. We have explosions. I live for this, Napster. You know that.
Yes, and as you know, I'm also waiting for LCH to get his first win. Not just LCH, it'll be nice to see George Russell get a win. And what would be very interesting if George Russell can do a JB, win two races at Mercedes this year before Lewis gets one. That will spice up things a lot. And it would be very interesting to see if Lando Norris can redeem himself from his Russian roulette from last season or 2 years ago when he had the race won and the rain came and he told the team to shut up. And then he had to put up with not winning the race. You remember that, Senor?
You know, I do remember that. It was a lot of laughs. It was a young whippersnapping, actually, literally snapping. But on the other hand, funny part is, you know, it's not whether LCH will win or George will win over LCH. It's Toto. Toto now has that chip on his shoulder. Remember the chip brought to you by Lay's?
Oh, how can I forget that?
It's awesome because that chip has got a new home. It's in Austria, and Toto is thinking about Abu Dhabi every day. He feels so guilty. He owes LCH a win. So if George is getting close to a win in a race, and all of a sudden LCH, we could do a little whoop whoop on the whoop whoop and give that deserved LCH win, first one of 2022. I'm telling you, Toto feels obligated. There's going to be some funny monkey business going on because Toto is an emotional wreck.
Yes, sir. And shall we take a break now?
We shall take a break because now after all that ranting and raving, the thirst. So let's hear from Orson Welles. Thank you.
Deep below the plains of southern France, in a mysterious process begun millions of years ago, nature herself adds life to the icy waters of a single spring, Perrier. Its natural sparkle is more delicate than any made by man, and therefore more quenching, more refreshing, and the mixer par excellence. Naturally sparkling from the center of the earth, Perrier.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. I say eyes of the world were on Watkins Glen, once a proud and very popular venue for Formula One racing. Sunday, Formula One was represented by Iceman and Torpedo. Did you watch any of the action, Senor?
I watched the entire thing, including the rain delay, the lightning delay, Kyle Larson's hair delay, everything.
Good. Kimi Raikkonen ran in top 10 before getting involved in a wreck, which, you know, did not surprise me. There were like few other cars involved. Man from Sacramento, California, whom you just mentioned, Kyle Larson won the race on Saturday. This was very impressive. He also won the Xfinity Series race, which is, the Xfinity Series is like NASCAR's version of Formula 2, or as we used to say back in the day, Hapidos. I really enjoyed the race, and I gotta tell you, man, the track is beautiful. It's located in a very nice part of New York State, and I really, really enjoyed some of the aerial shots they have. Your take, have you ever been there, sir, to the Glen?
No, sir, no, but you're right. Great track, great looking track, a lot of lovely people. It was a great crowd. Everybody wanted to see Kimi succeed. It was exciting. And, of course, the talk of the town as the race ended was Kyle Larson's style in the last lap. You know, but he does what he has to do. Not too proud of it, he said himself. But great racing, and I enjoyed all of the boogity boogity.
Yes, sir. Now we move on to MotoGP from Red Bull Ring. Ducati riders took the top four starting positions. Very impressive. Enea Bastianini was on pole, but victory went to another Ducati rider, Paco Bagnaia. He becomes the first Ducati rider to win three races in a row since Casey Stoner. Remember Casey Stoner on a Ducati?
One of my favorites now, sir.
Yes, this was fifth win of the season for Paco. French Yamaha rider Fabio Quartararo was second and still leads the championship. Aussie-made Jack Miller was third, also on a Ducati. And guess who was in attendance in Austria with the Aprilia team after playing his own Sound of Music to Alpine team? El Machismo. MotoGP will also have sprint races next season, and this will happen at each and every MotoGP event. Half the distance and half the points for the sprint races. The results will have no bearing on the grid for the main race, which will still be decided by qualifying. Good idea. Now we come to IndyCars. Big achievement for Australian driver Will Power. His 67 pole position tied the all-time record with Mario Andretti. Very, very impressive. Man from Tennessee, Joseph Newgarden, won the race. Very impressive. Second for the rookie from the Windy City, David Malukas. We interviewed him earlier this year. I believe it was St. Petersburg. His family runs a trucking business in Chi-Town, and they are originally from Lithuania. And this is how F1 legends finished in the race. Sato San was 5th, Marcus Ericsson was 7th, and Romain Grosjean was 13th. And if I did not say, the race took place at Gateway International Raceway near St. Louis, Missouri. Okay, Indy Lights. Matthew Brabham pulled a slick move late in the race to win over championship leader Linus Lundqvist. WRC, the Ypres rally in Belgium. Ott Tanak from Estonia was the winner, driving a Hyundai. Sir, this is interesting. A not-so-friendly post. Friendship Motor Speedway in Elkin, North Carolina, posted on their Facebook page that they are canceling the rest of the races for the season. The Speedway listed a number of concerns and reasons as to why they have decided to cancel its remaining races. Okay, now these are some of the key points they listed. Listen to this. An encouraged group boycott of the race. Non-compliance with safety standards by fans. Verbal abuse towards employees from racers and fans. Next is my favorite. Fans entering without paying the price of admission. And here is another doozy. Racers failing to file the proper paperwork with the IRS. Littering at the track by fans. And only in North Carolina, vandalism of restrooms. Why am I thinking John Voight and Burt Reynolds?
I don't know, Nasser. I think you've been watching too many movies.
Any comments on some of the issues?
Those are proper issues. I like that. Those are modern issues. They're grassroots issues. That's what you're dealing with when you're a man working from the ground up trying to run a racetrack. This is America.
Well, let me tell you, some years ago there was a race. I think it was Atlanta or Talladega, one of the big NASCAR races. And they were showing some scenes, you know, fans and how people were having a good time. And there was a guy in the middle of the field serving beer from a commode. And that was just absolutely, what can I say? Have you seen that moment, sir? I'm sure it's available somewhere on YouTube.
Sir, that moment is not needed to be seen. The mental image is just plenty.
Very good. Very good. Okay, now we are, Mr. Rogers, since Red Bull is running away with the championship, let's do this. Where are they now? Survivors of the Red Bull abattoir. Look at some of the drivers that went through their chop-chop system. Scott Speed, man from Manteca, was very successful in karting, and his claim to fame before reaching Formula One was winning both the Formula Renault Euro Cup and Formula Renault German Series, which used to be very, very a competitive series. A great job by Scott. In the inaugural GP2 championship in 2005, I believe it was, he was third behind Heikki Kovalainen and championship winner Nico Rosberg. In life after Formula One, Scott Speed raced in NASCAR with Red Bull's left-only team and briefly in Formula E, and then had championship success in Global Rallycross for Michael Andretti's team. And I'm sure you remember the day you and I went to Manteca to meet his mom and grandmom. Do you remember that, sir?
One of my favorite moments of the birth of F1 Weekly.
Next, Jaime Alguersuari. From 2009 to 2011, he was in Formula One, courtesy of Red Bull, starting 46 races and scoring 31 points. He was replaced at Toro Rosso by Daniel Ricciardo and Jean-Éric Vannes for the 2012 season. I remember his comment that I will never forget. When he was in World Series by Renault, and the season had just started, and he was very young, and they promoted him to Formula One. And his comment after a few races was, going to Formula One without any preparation is like going to the slaughterhouse. Following his exit from Toro Rosso, he spent two seasons as a Pirelli test driver and competed in the inaugural season of Formula E. He also spent some time as a commentator for the BBC. He is now a professional DJ. Jean-Éric Vannes. His father used to work for Johnson & Johnson and invented a medical device for which he received big royalties. He put some of that to very good use and built a go-kart track. His son was very talented and, as usual, was fast-tracked to Formula One by Red Bull, where he was very competitive against Daniel Ricciardo. He is now racing in Formula E. He also served time as a test driver for Ferrari. Now we come to Vitantonio Liuzzi. If there was a driver who got the Isaac Hayes 45 from Dr. Marco, featuring shaft both on side A and side B, it was Liuzzi. This guy was a legend in karting, and in the final year of Formula 3000, if I remember correctly, he won the first seven races of the season in 2004. Red Bull brought him into Formula One along with their paisan Christian Kling, starting the season with the Austrian driver, but then giving him more races than planned based on his performance. Liuzzi was teammate to Scott Speed at Toro Rosso, and both were enjoying a jolly good time, all expenses paid by Red Bull. Liuzzi is now very bitter with Red Bull, claiming they encouraged him to be himself and later used that against him, saying he was not serious. I think we've heard this before with other situations also. Now we come to Brendan Hartley. The Kiwi did a captain and Tennille on Dr. Marco, saying, "Do that to me one more time. Once is never enough with a man like you." Dr. Marco obliged, but wasted no time in getting his machete out for the second time and do a chop-chop on him, as the one-time Tom Petty of Formula One again failed to perform up to Red Bull's lofty standards. While misery loves company and success, partnering another Red Bull refugee, Mark Webber, both won the sports car championship with Porsche. Next, Daniel Kvyat. The green leaves of summer and Watkins Glen are calling him to lay NASCAR. The Russian rocket, or as Sebastian called him, Torpedo, was picked up by Red Bull at a young age and fast-tracked to F1 in their special way. Despite Kvyat scoring Ricciardo one season, the Torpedo was discharged from the Red Bull program to make room for the Dutch Napoleon Dynamite, to whom he left behind Formula One and Kelly Piquet. And sir, there were many others who will travel the Red Bull Boulevard of Broken Dreams. They reached a dead end before arriving at the promised land of Formula One. And they include Robert Wiggins. Now, Robert Wiggins, I would say, of all the drivers that Red Bull dropped, I was not surprised. But this was the case that I was really surprised. Very good talent, and he damn near won his first ever IndyCar race. And late in the race, he was punted off by Alexander Rossi. Not intentionally, but these things happen. And then we had Colin Fleming, another American kid. And you can see his video on YouTube, him and Scott Speed really having a very good time in Austria. Then we had Antonio Felix da Costa from Portugal. Dutch lady Bijtskevisser, she was picked up very quickly, dropped very quickly. Then there was this guy, Richard Verschuur, also from Netherlands. He, I think in his first single-seater season, he won two Formula 4 championships, but then he could not keep Dr. Marco happy. Then we had Sergio Sete Camara, Brazilian driver. He was also in their program, and then they said, adios, amigo. Okay, sir, now, Botas on bikes. This is from Steamboat, Colorado. the Finnish driver completed a 60-mile red course race, coming home fourth in a field of 726, while also topping the his age group. So very impressive. His girlfriend, who's from Australia, Tiffany, she won the women's 100-mile blue course in a commanding fashion. Listen to this. Coming home 21 minutes and 53 seconds ahead of Molly Cameron, who of course finished second. Now, Tiffany, as many of our listeners would know, is an Australian Olympic cyclist. So that performance should not surprise anyone. Now, sir, you were talking about Monterey, big money at Monterey. The cars are selling, man, this one of the Ferraris, Michael Schumacher's Ferrari from 1998, it entered four races, Canadian, French, Great British, and Italian Grand Prix, and won all four of them with Michael Schumacher at the wheel. And this thing went for, did you buy this? It was sold, which would be a paltry amount for you, $6,222,000.
Yes, I did.
That's good. And it's parked right next to your 55 Chevy truck, right?
Exactly.
There you go. Okay, the 1955 Ferrari 410 Sports Spider raced in period by Phil Hill, Carroll Shelby, Eugenio Castellotti, Maston Gregory, Richie Ginter, and Joe Bonnier went for an eye-watering $22,005,000. Wow. Amazing. Well, I know sometimes you go to these auctions. Were you at one of these auctions this year?
I did go to a couple of auctions. I went to Bonham's and Gooding & Company at Pebble Beach because F1 Weekly is invited to these things and you got to show up to a couple of them at least.
Yes. Okay, sir. Now, remembering Mark Donohue, August 19, 1975, this was the day he had his accident in Sunday's warm-up session at the Österreichring for the Austrian Grand Prix. And of course, a few days later, unfortunately, he died from internal brain bleeding. He gave Roger Penske his first Indy 500 victory in 1972. He was champion in the first IROC championship. In 1973, he was Can-Am champion with 6 wins out of 8 races. And he was from New Jersey, and I was reading a book long time ago about Mark Donohue when he was coming through the system, and his friend said that, you know, hey, I know somebody, you should talk to him, he might be able to help you out in his career. And Mark Donohue asked, who is that person? And the guy said, a chap named Roger Penske. And the rest is total history. And you know, many, many years later, I was able to do an interview with his son, David Donohue, when he was racing in IMSA at Laguna Seca. So that was very nice to have a chat with him. And he was also very thankful to Mr. Roger Penske for helping out and, you know, opening doors for him. Okay, sir, so that was a little remembrance for Mark Donohue. And also, sir, very important, he was one of the few drivers who finished on the podium in his first ever Grand Prix, which was a private McLaren entered, I believe, in the 1971 Canadian Grand Prix by Roger Penske. So, overall, a very good driver and sadly missed much. Okay, sir, now we come to famous last words. Now, this is your Dios Nando, quoted on motorsport.com. He said, and I quote, "I need to make 100% of my thing, and I need to kill whatever strengths other people have. But this I do in everything I practice, when I play anything. I just need to destroy the strengths of the others and try to maximize mine." End quote. Now, one thing he cannot destroy is the el pasión the host has for el machismo. Which brings us to this week's Musical Mondial, as presented by the Raycon Singers. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy.